Thank you, Braden, for leading the singing. Welcome to our Sunday night service here at Watermill. I really appreciate you guys letting me come out here and speak. Tonight I will be speaking about integrity, Christian strength in a world that keeps changing. I titled the lesson like this because I believe that if we have integrity, and it's more, in my opinion, it's more of consistency, which I'll explain that a little later. But I think the more consistency we have, if we go out into our everyday lives, the more constant we are in our beliefs, and the better we can stand firm in our faith and not be changed by this earthly world that seems to keep changing all the time. If you look at the slides, it might look a little similar to Bill's slide this morning. And just so you guys know, I did not go home this afternoon and just take Bill's lesson and change a little words. It was thought ahead. But I would like to read James 1, verses 12. It says, "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him." When you think of integrity, at least I did when I started doing this lesson, you think of doing the right thing when nobody's looking. But I found that it goes much deeper than that, and it's more of consistency. Merriam-Webster's definition of integrity is a firm coherence to a code of especially moral or artistic value, an unimpaired condition, the quality or state of being complete or undivided. That definition, I kind of split it into three little qualities, and those are incorruptibility, soundness, and completeness. The first quality I found was incorruptibility, or not having to worry about being changed. I saw that like when you hang around a group of people, you can start to sound and act like that group of people. And if you have integrity, you can realize you're being influenced in a bad way or if you need to be changed. In the book of Daniel, him and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, demonstrated their incorruptibility in a great way. When they were put into exile in Babylon, the king of Babylon wanted and commanded them to eat his food and drink his wine and worship the Babylonian gods. But Daniel refused to change his ways because he knew that they weren't right. He remained faithful to God, and he always prayed. And he did end up getting in trouble and being thrown into the lion's den, as we know. But if he truly served God and was willing to make those sacrifices for God. On the contrary, when David was a great king, and he was a great servant for the Lord. But we do find in 2 Samuel 11 that David did sin and fall short, as we all do. I would like to read in 2 Samuel 11, verses 2 through 5. It says, "It happened late one afternoon, David arose from his couch and was walking on the roof of the king's house, that he saw from the roof a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful. And David sent and inquired about this woman, and one said, 'Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?' So David sent the messengers and took her, and she came to him, and he lay with her. Then she returned to her house, and the woman conceived, and she sent and told David, 'I am pregnant.'" So we see David, and he was a great leader, and he still was, but he kind of lapsed, and he let his temptations get to him, and he fell short. Instead of going to the dollar store and buying Bathsheba a shower curtain, he invited her over to his house, and while her husband was away at war. But later in the story, when God sends Nathan to David's house to tell him of his sin, David, he repents of his sin and goes on to still be a great king. And this shows that God will always be there for us, even when we do fall short, and we can look to God for guidance. In our Wednesday night class that Bill has been teaching us, I discovered that integrity is also, it's also accountability and honesty. We were learning about forgiving others because God forgave us first. And Bill mentioned the integrity that we have to do that and how easy it is just not to forgive that other person. And it shows in Matthew 18, verses 23 through 35 in the parable of the unforgiving servant. It says, "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents." And in our class, we discussed that a talent is, 10,000 talents was pretty much you couldn't ever pay that debt back. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything." And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, which is, it's still a lot, but it's a way, way less than what that servant owed the king. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, "Pay what you owe." So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you." He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave all that debt because you have pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all of his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from the heart. So we learn here that that servant, he acted one way in front of the king, but when he went out into a different crowd of people, his attitude completely changed towards others. And that point has been very important for me personally to remember in my life. And it brings up a point of being a Sunday morning Christian, which I'll explain that a little later. What the servant was doing is parallel to me, or to us all being here, and then going out into school or work tomorrow, and no one being able to tell that we are Christians. And in a world where people's opinions can change as soon as the next cool thing comes out, or someone posts on social media is gone in 10 seconds, it's comforting to have the Bible that sends the same message and has been sent the same message for thousands of years. God is constant and always there for us. In Hebrews 13, verse 8, it says that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In James 1 through 4, James tells us to let steadfastness have its full effect so that we can be full and complete, lacking nothing. The best example I can find of consistency in the Bible was God's love. He has always had the same love towards us from the beginning of time till now. And also, like when in the Old Testament with the Israelites, they always had ups and downs. They were always believing in God, and then they wouldn't. But God's love was always with them, and it stayed consistent with them. And that really stuck to me as the greatest example of consistency. And also in our Wednesday night class, we've been in the passage of Exodus 34, and this is where Moses is up on the mountain, on Mount Sinai for the second time, and making the new tablets. And God kind of introduces himself to Moses, and this is one of the few times we get to see who God is, or who God says he is. And he said the two characteristics that I've chosen to say here is, he said, God is abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness and keeping steadfast love for thousands. However, God is also a just God, and he says he will by no means clear the guilty. And this, it requires an enormous amount of consistency to show steadfast love and faithfulness, yet also being a just God and knowing when to kind of put his fist down. And Malachi chapter 3, verse 6 says, "For I, the Lord, do not change." So God has been all the characteristics that he's mentioned in Exodus 34, and he's been that way, and he'll stay that way. And integrity is not just doing the right thing when nobody's looking, as I said, but that's definitely part of it. But it can also be doing the right thing when everybody is looking and not falling to peer pressure. And a little silly example I have of this is my friends and I, we were working for my dad, and we had to start a burn pile. And it had been raining previously, and everything was wet, so we needed some fuel to get it started. So I started to go get some diesel, but when a group of teenage boys get together, you need the gasoline. So I knew I shouldn't have got the gasoline because it's just a little bit unsafer. But I went and got it, and we were real careful, and we were real safe, and everyone was okay. But that it's just a little habits that you build over time, and the decisions you make aren't just things that your brain does on the spot. It's the habits you build over time. And like in high school, you don't normally have assigned seats, but somehow everyone always at lunch sits in the same spot because they always just sit with their friends, and you just build habits like that. And which is, it's why the situations you put yourself into now and how you handle them will definitely affect how you handle other different situations down the road. And I'm a sports guy. Sports analogy has helped me. And one that I found that would fit this is when I'm in basketball practice and we're at the end of practice and we're kind of tired and we start running sprints. If I'm not running them as hard as I can, or if I'm just kind of jogging in there, making them look like I'm trying hard, standing in the middle, I probably won't be in the game when we get to game time, and it's the fourth quarter, it's at the end of the game. I probably won't sprint all the way down the court and fast enough as I would if I had the integrity to run as fast as I can. Because the coach may not know how fast I can run, but if I know, I only I know how fast I can run, and if I'm trying my hardest, that's the only way that I'll know if I'm getting better. The more we study God's word, the more we can put it in our daily lives and realize how to make the right decisions. Integrity isn't just something that kind of comes like that. It comes with experiences and many failures. Our youth group went to the youth conference in Fayetteville, Arkansas. We went to a class there, and there was the man who was teaching it used an example of how our faith strengthens. He took a string of yarn about this big, and he told us that that was our faith. Like, as soon as we believe, that's our faith. And he took that, and he said, "Now our faith is going to be challenged." And he ripped it in half, pretty like right in the middle, just pretty easily. And he said that our faith had just been challenged, and we'd made the wrong decision. So those pieces of yarn are still our faith. So he took those two pieces of yarn, and he said that our faith was going to be challenged again, and he still ripped them in half. It was a little harder, but he still did it. And the way he described that as if we keep building our faith, he keeps ripping it apart into different pieces, the harder it gets. So as more times we're challenged, but we still have to be striving to be more like God and building our faith. And it won't happen just like magic. It'll take time, and it'll eventually be a lot easier to make the right decision. And as long as we're learning from those mistakes. Back when Adam Blaney was here, we were in class back there one Sunday morning, and we were talking about being consistent in all aspects of life and not being just those Sunday morning Christians that I was talking about, being two different people at church and then wherever you go after this. He kind of compared that to being a TV dinner. So TV dinner is a little plate right here and has all those little sections that you warm up in a microwave. He said we can't live our lives in the sections of the TV dinner. We can't have sports be the mashed potatoes, and then can't have school be the green beans, and family be this, and friends be that, and then church be just a little section over here. Our lives need to be more like our Thanksgiving plates that we had two or three weeks ago, or at least mine. Mine was just mounded up, and I'd be eating my mashed potatoes, and then, oh, there's some green bean casserole. And then move on to the corn, and it's just a big smorgasbord of everything. We need to have our lives like that, so that way Jesus is in every aspect of our lives, and everything's mixed together, and that way we can let our light shine for Jesus better, and we can have the consistency to do that, and everyone will be able to see who we are and why we make those little different decisions. And we'll stick out, but it won't be like sticking out, like making a scene everywhere or just wearing crazy clothes. It'll be just the little things like, I wonder why they don't go to this, or I wonder why they don't say that. And they might even ask our questions, and our job is to answer those questions and tell them who we look to for our guidance. Now, the last story I would like to read is the story of Ananias and Sapphira. It's the story of two people. They didn't feel complete because they weren't satisfied with the way other people saw them, and that caused them to show poor integrity. In Acts chapter 4, verses 34 through Acts 5, verses 4, there was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of the land or houses sold to them, and brought the proceeds of what was sold, and laid it at the apostles' feet. and it was distributed to each as had any had need. Thus Joseph, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. But a man named Ananias, with his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of property. And with his wife's knowledge, he kept back for himself some of the proceeds and brought only a part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to man, but to God. So, obviously, we know the rest of the story, where Ananias and Sapphira both lie, and God strikes them down. Excuse me. And they wanted to get respect from others, as Joseph had done. They let earthly things and how other people thought of them affect their decisions, which would not happen to... It would be difficult to happen if we lay our treasures up in heaven, as it says in Mark 6, verses 20, and not have our treasures here on earth. So my basketball coach has a saying that we use, it's our team motto, and it goes like this. Do the right thing when you're supposed to do it the way it's supposed to be done. This is pretty much putting my lesson of integrity, or how I think integrity should be described, into a little small phrase. I guess I could have just said that at the beginning and you guys would have gotten out of here a little quicker. But as Christians, we're called to spread the gospel and love one another, which is definitely doing the right thing. We're supposed to do this whenever the opportunity arises, which if we have integrity, I sometimes when I go to school, I see an opportunity and I'll be like, oh, well, I don't really want to do that right now. There'll be another one that comes up. But we're supposed to do this whenever any opportunity arises, so as much as possible. And the way we do this is as loving and caring as possible and using the scriptures in order to bring others to Christ. And if we do that, we should be able to show others our consistency in Christ. I'd like to thank you guys again for allowing me to speak tonight. And at this time, if you have any needs or would like any prayers, if you'd come down to the front as Braden leads us in our next song.